Hey, this is Chris Jericho, and you are listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, probably the best podcast in all of Texas, and probably the only one I've ever heard of. So crank it up and enjoy.
Hey, this is Bret the Hitman Hart, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio.
Hey, this is the Innovator of Violence, Tommy Dreamer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio, taking you to the extreme.
Hi, this is Booker T, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to Houston Wrestling Radio. Now, can you dig that, sucker?
Live from La Cocina Studios, this is 198th edition of Houston Wrestling Radio. This is Abel.
This is Travis.
This is Chris.
And thanks so much for tuning in today, guys. We got a lot to talk about. We have, we had Monday Night Raw here in Houston this past week.
Jealous because you sat at home.
We'll get to that.
Yeah, we had a new Universal Champ crowned while in Houston. We had more
from, that belt sucks.
We had more from the CWC go on.
And that's right.
That was a pretty cool show. So there's a lot to get to. What are we gonna start with today, though?
Here we go.
I guess that's
noticias.
News.
Live at 8:15.
Oh, Jesus.
Raise your hand if you called Alberto Del Rio quitting.
I'm not surprised. Let's say you're surprised.
I didn't think he was going to quit. I thought he just wouldn't renew his contract.
Okay. We're all on the same page. He wasn't going to last up.
This isn't it's news. ADR, he is no longer with. Well, he's not going to renew whenever his suspension is up. That's the technical way of putting it. But, not shocking, not surprising. I heard the news today. I was like, whatever, good riddance. But apparently this whole thing, he got his lawyer involved. And you're already laughing.
Wow.
it's one of those things where you son of a bitch. basically he said that the WWE lied to him. He was promised main events, storylines, and titles, and that really didn't happen. Still not shocking to me, but here's the thing about Del Rio. Like, he came back on the hot surprise return.
Right.
Everybody was surprised. Everybody reacted to popcorn, right? But let's be honest. Anybody that came out as a surprise probably would have got a pop too.
Yeah.
Especially beating Cena.
Yeah, that's true.
After that, the Zeb culture thing with the mixed Americans.
That's drop ball number one, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
It didn't make sense.
Let's go. What's after that? The foreign objects or what are they called? The Europe nation or Europe
League of Nations.
League of Nations. Yeah.
That had promise, and then Roman Reigns killed all of them at once, every week for like a month. And then at WrestleMania, they just killed the damn thing because it wasn't working.
Well, someone quit first, right? Barrett, right?
Barrett, yeah. He's like, fuck this money.
Well,
can you really
blame him? It's not like the storyline really went anywhere. Anyway.
That was the biggest thing.
There was a lot that was left to be desired from that goddamn story.
And here's the thing. Like, whenever Del Rio was in Lucha and ROH and everything, He's good. I mean, like, he was – something about him was different, you know? And then when he got back to WWE, he's like, okay, maybe this is going to be different. And then, like, it wasn't different. It was the same old Del Rio that we got the last time in WWE. He's, like, just kind of there.
Yeah.
You know? He's just – like, he didn't care. Like, he was – not that, but he's just kind of – oomph.
Well, is that his fault, or could that just been the fault of storyline? It didn't give him anything to do. He didn't do anything. He wasn't in anything compelling. Was he even in any feuds?
My counter to that would be Mizdow. Damian Sandow, he got shit thrown at him, and he turned that shit into gold.
Yeah.
So you can't say it's all creative.
Okay.
What you got?
I'm going to side with him.
You would.
Dude, it's
Mexican.
It's Del Rio. He was mega champion. He was a big deal Lucha Underground. You start off that momentum by having him beat Cena and be the U.S. champ. You know, and then you pair him with Zeb. Have we even seen Zeb after?
No. And that's unfortunate because Zeb was good, and he was a good talker. I mean, I'd still
he couldn't even save that. that storyline. That was just horrid.
Yeah.
All the way around.
And then that goes back to creative. They didn't give him a good enough storyline.
Then they do League of Nations, the four heels that they couldn't figure out what to do with.
Right.
Sheamus wins the belt off of Roman, cashing it in. Four guys, decent stable. They're starting to come up and find themselves on their own. What does booking do?
Nothing. They don't give him anything.
No, they
kill him.
He loses the belt.
All of them.
Like the next week, right?
Yeah.
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 And the part that I'll kind of give Del Rio some grief is patience. You know, we have a brand split that's twice the belts, whether you're on Raw or SmackDown, which means half the competition's gone. Especially if you're on SmackDown. If you have main event credibility, you're already in the main event picture. Don't fuck it up. What does Del Rio do? Gets popped for violation.
Yeah.
With his girlfriend and his hoe on the side. So at some point, some blame has to come on Del Rio. And dude, I would have loved to have seen Del Rio versus freaking AJ Styles. You know, if he was on Raw, I would love to have seen Del Rio against Seth Rollins. You know, Del Rio against Finn Balor. Del Rio against Sami Zayn. You know, there's a lot of opportunity for him to actually build up some credibility to where when the time comes for a B pay-per-view or a Money in the Bank shot or a chance to sniff somewhere near the main storyline of a brand, whether it's Raw or SmackDown, and he just decides, you know what, it's not what I want right now. Okay. I'm just going to leave.
Yeah.
Yeah. Screw him. What's next? I'm tired of talking about that.
Okay, then raise your hand if you signed a petition to get rid of Roman Reigns' vest.
Because I didn't know about it until like 30 minutes ago.
I didn't sign it, but I saw it, and I didn't get a chance to actually sign it.
I didn't care enough to sign it.
Oh, man. How about the passing of Mr. Fuji?
That's sad. 2016 strikes again. That's why I say anytime a celebrity passes away this year. Gene Wilder, man. Fucking comedic genius legend. Gone. Willy Wonka.
Yeah, that's sad.
But yeah, Mr. Fuji.
Yeah, Mr. Fuji.
What was your first when you think of Mr. Fuji, do you have like a first memory of what
Yokozuna?
Yeah, WrestleMania 9 throwing the salt in Bret Hart's eye.
I think when I first got into wrestling, he was managing the Orient Express.
Yes.
Oh, like they're old.
Yes.
Yeah.
I do remember that.
That was coming, you know. So I remember that and then going back and watching more things. You know, of course, Fuji Vice. Good stuff there with Don Morocco.
I saw that.
also, I really liked him with Demolition. When he had the little face paint on there. Oh, nice. This is good stuff. The devious one.
Mm-hmm.
Awesome.
What do you got?
In honor of him, I wanted to. I mean, I couldn't get it in time, but I wanted to get some salt thrown in your eyes. Nah, that's not the fine salt. You know, I got the household salt, but you need the fine.
You need to grind it down a little bit.
Yeah. I mean, it's almost like
you want our eyes to be
exactly. Yes. Yeah.
Well, we both wear glasses, so the goggles do something.
Yeah.
That's it for the news.
Awesome.
For the most part.
Wow. Okay. So it was short news week.
Oh, there is one last bit.
Oh.
Ring of Honor announced online they're debuting 6-man tag titles. They're having a tournament.
Oh.
To do a 6-man tag title.
I don't know about that.
So does this mean each team is going to be six, or is it 3-on-3?
3-on-3.
Okay. All right, so it's a trios title. Yeah, okay. Well, the way it was worded, a 6-man tag title. Well,
6-man tag match, 3-on-3.
They're in 6-man tag matches. It's 3-on-3. Okay, yeah.
Not that complicated.
Okay.
Yeah, the first match they announced is the Addiction against Tama Taichi against the Cabinet, which is ANX and Caprice Coleman.
They have to, in order to do these belts, they actually have to use both rosters between them and New Japan.
Yeah,
it's already that's when you first told me about that. I was like, seems a bit much. No, did they have the roster for that?
Yeah.
And plus, honestly, to be totally honest, I haven't been up to date on ROH lately, so I don't know if this is storyline driven or there's a purpose to it. You told me something's coming up on next week's Ring of Honor.
Okay, we're going to jump to the Ring of Honor segment real quick. Short and sweet.
Rapid fire.
All right.
Yeah, yeah. Rapid fire. Jay Lethal wrestled Jay White in the main event. Jay White.
Who's Jay White?
From New Japan Pro Wrestling.
Not Michael J. White from Spawn.
Yeah. I'm not even sure who that is.
If you saw him, you probably had no idea who this guy is.
Oh, okay.
Put up a hell of a fight to the point where the match was stopped due to television time limit. Because the episode of ROH was ending, so the referee called the match and said that we don't have enough time to have a winner, so they might actually do this again later.
That's so old school. That is NWA old school.
Wow.
I like it.
A TV time
limit.
It's old. Yeah. Not like the match had a time limit. Oh, we're approaching 15 minutes. So it's sort of like, hey, we need to cut to commercial. Oh, crap. And then
Did they actually say it? For like time, they say it's still TV time remaining at the start of the match. That's what NWA used to do. They would say,
I need to rewatch it to catch that part because I really wasn't paying attention because I didn't know it was going to end that way.
Yeah.
But I could go back to see if they announced a 20 minute time limit and just time the match to see if it did go all 20 or if they announced television main event.
You know what? It's not a big deal.
It's not a big deal.
Okay.
Here's the big deal.
Yes.
Here's the big deal. Next week, tag titles are on the line. Addiction against the Young Bucks. Yeah, it's Young Bucks Super Kick Party. We all get our invitations. We always.
That's going to be a fun match. May not be the best match, but it'll be a fun match.
The better match, from our experience,
is
going to be War Machine.
Okay.
Against Pretty Boy Killers. Keith Lee and Shane Taylor. They've debuted in Ring of Honor by jumping War Machine every other week to the point where they got taken out of the tag team main event for the last Ring of Honor pay-per-view. So this is actually the first legit tag match that Pretty Boy Killers are going to have, and it's against trusty War Machine because, you know, right now, even in Dallas, next month, we're going to have Raymond Rowe defend VIP Wrestling's title against Keith Lee. So, we've seen them in the DFW down here, so we know what they can do. Put them in front of a decent-sized television audience. A decent sized audience in the arena.
Has ROH, they don't acknowledge their local indie stuff over here, do they? Between the history between
Shane Taylor. It's fresh to the Ring of Honor viewers.
So they're in for a shock and retreat. Okay. They haven't seen
that. Yeah.
But if you listeners, if you haven't seen that, you're in for a treat if you want to watch ROH this week.
Yeah, that's this coming week's episode.
Yes, it's going to be brutal.
So if you're watching on the online, it'll be this week. But if you're watching on the Sinclair TV, whatever, they're a week behind, right? How does that work?
No, the online is already synced up with the broadcast now.
Oh, okay.
So if you watch it Wednesday night on Comet, if you watch Wednesday night on Comet, Thursday in the afternoon, bang, it's already there.
Okay.
So it should be on the Fight app also on Thursday.
What the hell is Comet?
TV station.
It's an antenna station free that you can get. It's 39. It's 39.3.
I don't have these point channels. Get that out of here.
Actually, you do.
You can show it to me on TV. I don't know.
A couple of episodes ago, you mentioned a news bit that Ring of Honor CMLL signed an agreement.
Yeah.
Their first guy, I'm going to try to pronounce the name correctly. It's Stucco Jr. Not Stupid Jr. Like I told y'all on pre-tape. Like I heard Stupid Jr. Like actually,
Stucco.
I actually heard it too when I first
Stucco sounds just
like the shit you put on the walls.
Yeah.
That sounds just as bad as stupid.
He debuted against Tamagotchi and he won.
Tamagotchi.
Yeah. And it was a pretty fun match. Seeing them, you don't see a lot of Lucha Libre guys on Ring of Honor television, if rarely. So seeing somebody just fly around Lucha Libre style. On there, it was pretty fun.
Wait, someone in ROH is jumping around?
Oh my god.
The hell you say?
The hell I do say.
You don't see many authentic only Lucha Libre
style. In the masks and stuff.
Yeah. Because you see plenty of people influenced from Lucha Libre style. Yeah, hybrid wrestlers, so to speak.
Yeah. That's it for Ring of Honor.
Yay.
You want to get to Raw?
Well, if we're doing indies, did anybody happen to catch any TNA?
Yeah. No. What's a TNA?
Apparently it's the coffin, the death place for Matt and Jeff Hardy.
The hell you say? I thought everybody loves them.
Yeah, I heard Jeff turned into a broken one too. He's
going along with it. He's I guess kind of subservient to Matt, but is like down with it, and he is referring to himself as obsolete.
Have you been watching? You saw the episode?
I saw the clip. I saw the segment.
You saw the segment.
I didn't see the whole
episode. Were the crowd cheering or booing Matt and Jeff?
They were cheering them.
I think the gimmick, Matt finally got the gimmick over, so it'd be okay for Jeff to be under Matt for once.
Yeah.
Because even in WWE, we see the Hardy Boys, we see Jeff as the main guy and Matt's the technician.
Yes.
Matt's the mechanic.
Yeah.
And this team, I like seeing that Matt's the one, the lead, it takes the lead, and Jeff's the one right behind. And if it's working, if they, the crowd's liking it, shit, I'd give it a shot. Bound for Glory is coming up. I think they're competing for number one contender for tag titles.
Really?
Yeah. Or they're in the mix for a match. So.
Yeah, they want a match to be in that match, be in the tag team title match.
Oh, okay.
Something like that. It's some kind of ladder match. Something, Ascension to Hell or something like that. Well, I can't remember the.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's right. A ladder match, pretty much. And they grabbed the contract.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's as far as I got. That's from what I saw on Facebook.
Yeah. Is that all you saw?
Yeah. I mean, the whole segment with them two and the decay and, you know, him biting Crazy Steve's face off.
Oh, that was going to be a thing with they're going to do another deletion promo vignette.
Yeah. And apparently it's going to be sequel to it, you know? Yeah, Matt and Jeff against the Decay and Crazy Steve Abyss and whatever the chick's name is.
What's her name?
Samantha. I don't know, something like that. But yeah, but it's weird because like I was kind of thinking that the Decay were going to join Matt and Jeff because it kind of already seemed like they had that weird ass, you know.
They're fucked up too.
Yeah, yeah, they're a little touched in the head. But no, they're like fighting them, and I'm like, you're fighting your own peoples. Like, but I don't know. Like, it's just weird and funny. But yeah, that's enough TNA for one night. That was more than enough TNA for one night. Let's move on.
Did you see? I showed you a clip of shout out to the Jaime from Renegade Wrestling. I saw a thing from that he was tagging or something on Facebook about Triple Mania.
Oh, that happened. That was a six-man tag that was Lucha Underground specific, and Matt Stryker and Vampiro on commentary.
Clearly not giving up. Oh. Oh, did you hear? Did you hear the commentary?
No, I saw I saw it, but I didn't click on it to hear the audio.
Vampiro brought a six-year-old boy to join him for commentary because I guess he jumped the rail or whatever, and he brings him in, and he's like telling, he's asking the kid, "What you think? What you think about this? This is it?" And he's and the kid's not saying anything. He's like, "Dude, come on! I'm putting you on the spot. Don't be a pussy." He called a six-year-old boy a pussy.
That's how you do it.
He said, "No, get out of here. You're embarrassing."
Wow.
Yeah, that's
ridiculous.
Awesome. Yeah. Speaking of indie news, Reality Wrestling invaded Raw.
Oh.
I see where you're going.
Yeah. Raw last Monday. Before we get to the main course, we had some invaders. We had one.
Yes.
Yeah, from RW. It was how do we pronounce this name?
Haiyang.
Was destroyed by Nia Jax.
Right. And she was very proud of it.
Oh, yeah.
Put it on her Facebook, everything. I would have too. Was
Before the bell even rang, I got on her Facebook wall and congratulated her on her future impending death. First.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
don't be that guy.
Yeah.
Where does Americos wrestle?
ROH, right?
What?
I saw him on ROH.
I think he was on an episode of ROH.
No, not an episode, but we went to San Antonio. That's where I saw him at.
Yeah. No, he wrestled at Lone Star for a while there.
But
he's also been around different indie promotions around Texas, you know, Austin, San Antonio, what have you. I think he was at Anarchy Championship for a while. But Americos was on Raw also, apparently. He being beat up by Braun Strowman.
That's how you gotta say it.
Yeah.
You'll get it right.
Okay.
I have one little nitpick about that. When they have Byron in there interviewing him like they've been doing, all these past guys. And I don't know, maybe I just haven't noticed it before, but Michael Cole is like, I don't know if he's like slipping back into his heel persona, but he was like giving shit to Americo about being in the ring. I was like, dude, like you have a great heel commentator right next to you in Corey Graves. Like, why are you? I don't know, he's just making fun of him. He's making fun of America pretty much for being in the ring. Like, really? Are we gonna do this again? Is this the route we're gonna go? Mm. If that's the case, I don't want any part of that.
Kevin Owens wins the belt. What's the first word that comes out of your mouth?
I think I just laughed. I was like, ha, yeah. I don't know. I was excited. I don't think I had words.
Really?
Yeah.
How about you?
Wow. There you go. That was pretty much it. I was pleasantly surprised that they actually pulled the trigger on that. Because I think we all said that last week. That I know I wanted Kevin Owens to win. And I know you wanted him to win. Because
I know I didn't want Roman in the main event picture.
Well, I think we said it would be coming down to Owens and Rollins.
Yeah.
Right.
And, well, we're going to get right into this main event match. Because leading up to this main event match, Raw was kind of... It was hard to get through.
I don't know if I would
you
say
know what
that bad.
I might have to disagree with that. I was worried going to the event live that it was going to be 3.5 hours of hell. It actually was not that. It was not as bad as I thought it was. Mm-hmm. I thought it was pretty consistent. Mm-hmm. Nothing too bad. Nothing too good until the moment. Like basically, this Raw is going to be remembered for the moment.
Right.
Mm-hmm. You know. Mm-hmm. If, regardless of what we think about this match, at the end of the day, the whole night's going to be the moment. And we haven't had one like that
in a long time.
I agree. As soon as Triple H had Roman, first, Triple H pedigrees Roman, and there's a fangirl behind me crying. Yeah. A grown-ass woman with braces crying because Roman got beat. And then Triple H is helping up Rollins, and as soon as he puts Rollins in the underhook with a pedigree, I can hear the chick behind me starting to laugh a little, like a little vengeance. But, man, as soon as he grabbed Rollins to drop him, that place was gone, dude.
Yeah.
Like, it was a high-pitched orgasm. Like, nobody saw it. Nobody really saw it coming. You know, I don't know how much of that is us being brainwashed that WWE is going to stick to whatever WWE wants to do instead of rolling the dice. They rolled the dice on me.
I had an inkling of a feeling, especially when he paused for a second before he did anything to Rollins. Mm-hmm. He was looking over at Owens a couple of times, like, is he going to do what I think he's going to do? And then sure enough, Nancy, my wife, she was there with me. And we were both kind of, she wasn't surprised when he attacked Rollins.
Really?
No.
Wow.
She's like, I knew it. because it's the whole, you know, if you retrospect, you know, 2020 hindsight, you know, how many times have we seen where the unexpected turn happens when two guys that are supposed to be on the same page or facing the same direction against an opponent, and then the one guy in the middle just turns around for the shock, you know, and that's kind of what I guess that's why I was seeing it.
Like the way they were blocked out was basically indicative. But,
yeah.
But leading up to that, before that, I didn't even think Triple H was going to be showing up. You know, Triple H showing up on the TV screen, I was like,
enough of a surprise.
Yeah, that was enough of a surprise.
Yeah.
You know, because I think we've been waiting. Well, when's Triple H going to be involved? Well, I think even going back to the brand split, well, was it going to be Raw versus SmackDown and in comes Triple H? It's like, NXT, bitches.
Yeah.
You know, like we had no idea.
Like that.
Yeah. But like,
you hear violin all of a sudden.
Yeah. Like, screw you, Universal Champion. Yeah. Here's my champion. Out comes Nakamura. Yeah. You know, like, I don't know. I mean, that in and of itself was enough of a surprise for me to be like, wow, this is interesting.
Yeah. But getting to the actual moment when Kevin Owens got the win, I know that on the TV it came across really well.
Like, yes.
The crowd blew up. How was it? First of all, Chris was there, by the way.
Oh, yeah. Chris was there live at the Toyota Center.
Whew. Dick. My both of my ears popped.
Wow.
When it happened, because it was that loud.
Yeah.
Not to mention, there was a lot of smarts in that place. I don't know where it came from.
Let's talk about that.
And that's another example where WWE, if they go to enough of these smarky towns, if it comes across on television, people are going to think that's the norm. So, hey, let's all boo Roman. Hey, let's all like do this and this. This one smart that was chatting for 30 minutes to sign a miracle, so I almost got arrested for punching the fucker out because I was about to get out of my chair. They annoyed me, and I'm like flirting that line between like lazy fan and like kind of smart kind of, but yeah,
the fuck?
Smarts everything. Yeah, I just got it. There's that place was full of smarts,
and that came across really well on TV. Because I think I messaged y'all and it's like, when the hell did Houston become a smarky town?
Right,
because it's never been like that.
We've gone on record on this show before for other Raws and SmackDowns
or
whatever.
More than anything, you complained that this is not a wrestling fervor town,
right?
Compared to Dallas, Chicago,
it sounded like
Monday, dude.
It was different.
I forgot it was in Houston, honestly.
Yeah, seriously, it was almost like they were in Philly, you know, or Well, maybe not that much, but, you know, like one of these more smarkier towns.
If there was enough for you to forget it was Houston, then the job was done.
Yeah, like, yeah. Well, I don't know if we want to say good on WWE. I think I would say good on Houston for finally, you know, coming around like that, because it's been like that for a while where I've been complaining about, yeah, Houston, they just show up with the families to cheer John Cena, and that's it. But now, for whatever reason,
Cena's not there anymore. Cena or Orton. The family contingent's gone. And now you have all these people that are pretending to be badasses, and everybody's cool because they say they are. Instead of, you don't have a poster boy that's going to shake babies and kiss hands and do 500 make-a-wishes on Raw anymore.
Right.
So it's all like a level attitude era playing field, kind of. I kind of agree with you to the point where when the fans started chanting CM Punk, they reminded me why I hated Smarky Towns. Like, it's okay to like the bad guy as long as it's relevant. You like Kevin Owens, he's in the main event. You can cheer Kevin Owens, you can boo Roman Reigns. Dude, get over it or go home. Punk's not coming back. Shut the fuck up. Like, really. Like, I stood up twice and shut people up and got people to clap for me. Because I'm already getting fed up with that shit. Yeah, bitch. It's like, get over it. But besides that crowd, I was like, wow, okay.
Yeah, they were hot.
Yeah.
There's a hot crowd in Houston. Who'd have thunk it? But yeah, the moment of Owens with the belt, the celebration. I've heard a couple of things online saying that it looked like maybe Owens didn't know that he was going to win.
It's better that way.
Yeah.
It's authentic.
Apparently, and I didn't go back to verify this, but apparently I was pointing out that like when Triple H goes outside and picks up Owens to throw him in the ring, like there's a second where he's actually talking to him. And there's a theory that that's when he
told him to sit in the corner.
Yeah, it's drooling over pretty much at that point. Mm-hmm. Because there's even hesitation, like Owens, like if he knew all that was going on, give that man an Oscar. I mean, he played it off like legitimately, like he was shocked, like he didn't know what the hell was going on.
Yeah,
it all worked. The whole segment, like you said, that moment, it worked.
Now we're talking a lot about the finish, and you know, Triple H coming out, you know, the pedigree, this and that, the crowd. How do you guys feel about, because this is an elimination style, how do you guys feel about everything leading up to the end? You know, we had Big Cass in there, kind of, you know, get eliminated. You know, well, he was eliminated first. I don't know if I say quickly, but kind of quickly, no. I mean,
he didn't get enough time. He didn't get enough offense to show that he belonged in the match. That's my opinion.
I think it's fair to say that he's not ready for main event status yet. However, I applaud WWE for putting him in such a high-profile match. They could have easily put someone like, I don't know, Cesaro or Sami Zayn or somebody in that fourth spot, but they chose a new face that has yet to be anywhere near a title match. And for them to do that and put some trust in Big Cass, that says something.
Yeah. I mean, he had a decent showing for what he did.
In a rebuttal to him, I'm going to ask you, would it have been three viable contenders against Cass, or will it have been four viable contenders if they put somebody like Cesaro or Sami Zayn or something, where you could have actually made it a lot, had a lot more wiggle room that you wouldn't have known who could have won that match?
You know what? Maybe if Cesaro was in there, it would have been a little bit different. But see, it's not like I'm hating on Cass. I kind of was secretly wanting him to go either be the second, the last guy, or, you know, second to last guy. You know, I was kind of hoping he'd, you know, but. I think it would be too much to ask for him not to be eliminated first, you know?
No, he deserved to get eliminated first.
Yeah. So I don't know. Like, I have mixed feelings about it. I'm happy for him that he got that main event spot, you know, and I'm happy for him, you know, even at the beginning of the night when all four of them are sitting there in Miz TV, except it was Corey Graves TV, you know, doing that promo. Yeah, he seemed like he belonged, you know? So, I don't know. I guess my question is, leading up to the end, everything else before all the shenanigans with Triple H and all that, was the match good? And was it good enough to the point where we're willing to sit here and say, you know what, this is even a match of the week contender?
The first half felt like a paint by the numbers title forward match.
Okay.
That's hard. Like, even if it's a contender, it's nowhere near my match of the week.
Okay.
At the end of the day, the match is not going to be remembered for what happened for the 30 minutes. The match is going to be remembered for the moment.
Okay.
Depending on how you have your criteria, because, oh, my God, it's not a match of the week candidate because there's interference. Blah, 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 blah. Do you think it's a match of the week worthy?
Yes.
Defend yourself.
I think it's a match of the week candidate worthy. Yeah. Candidate worthy, definitely, because, I mean, hell, we pass out candidates like chiclets sometimes. But I really thoroughly enjoyed the match. I'm not trying to hate on Roman, you know, but I mean, when Roman was in there, it was like, oh, okay, Roman, but you got Owens and you got, Rollins in there, and all the stuff that they did in the matches with the different opponents and stuff, that was good. The stuff with Cass was good. You know, I wanted to see more from Cass, whatever. And then the end itself, if you count it all together as one big presentation, the end itself was fucking amazing because of all the surprises. Sure, shenanigans, but I don't know. I think it was good shenanigans. You know, I do have a lot more questions than we do answers as far as, like, why the hell did he wind up at the end helping Kevin? You know, was he really intending to help Rollins kayfabe-wise all the way until the end when he got frustrated with Rollins and said, you know what, I'm just going to pedigree him? Did he call that audible kayfabe-wise in the ring? Like, was it the plan all along? He was just trying to swerve everybody just so that, like, why? Why is Triple H doing this? And I kind of like the fact that I have more questions than answers.
It's been a very long time, not only for a big moment, like you were saying, Chris, but it's been such a long time that we've had a cliffhanger that we give a shit about.
Yeah.
You know, and it's hard, I guess it's hard for them to do that on a 3-hour show to make you want more. but yeah, it just raises so many questions about what's going to happen now. I love the reaction when he went outside and looked at Stephanie mm-hmm. and Mick. And Stephanie just had that look like, what the hell, bro?
You're sleeping on the couch tonight.
Yeah, pretty much. I love that moment.
That's my biggest concern, is that this moment should be about Kevin Owens winning the title, not about McMahon infighting. If this is going to be – if Kevin Owens winning the title is just a stepping stone to the overall McMahon infighting storyline with Foley smushed in the middle, that's going to be a disappointment. Because the focus needs to be put on the first time ever that Owens is holding a heavyweight championship on the main roster.
But that is, dude. The only time I'm talking about
the future.
Yeah, I'm talking about that moment. I was talking about that was like a split second. Yeah, loses the camera, but everything else was all focused on Kevin Owens. Even past Raw, they've been showing videos like in photo shoots and all this other stuff, being the champ and everything.
Yeah,
they've been doing a really good job of covering him and making him feel like it was a big moment, and he's the champ, and he's the top guy on Raw now. As far as being about a man, have you not been watching WWE for the last 20 years? that's what I got to say about that.
That was one of the biggest complaints we had of it, though.
Yeah.
You just kind of get, I mean, it's, if it's about them, so it's about them. Nothing is status quo on that. However, at this point, now you're bringing up a new guy in Kevin Owens to get the rub off of being with the McMahon storyline.
True.
If you're with the McMahon storyline, you're in. Mm-hmm. You know, you're a made man pretty much at that point. Do we have any armchair booking fan theories about where they're going with this? Because I have one.
Go for it, because you probably have a better theory than I do. I don't have anything.
It's a little delayed from what the theories were a few months ago. But Triple H is a big proponent of NXT. Kevin Owens, NXT, or indie guy, I should say. He just helped him win the title. We could be getting some kind of
takeover,
maybe. It's not too late.
Like an invasion NXT
something
type of thing.
And I haven't had a chance to look back and see like how many roster guys are on Raw that were straight up from NXT. Enzo Cass,
Bo, Enzo Cass, Neville.
Finn technically, but he's not there.
Cruz.
He's on SmackDown.
Oh, okay. Biggie, Xavier.
Biggie and Xavier. Yeah.
Bailey,
Charlotte.
So we got something going. Okay. We got something going.
Enough.
If there's anybody else they feel like bringing in from NXT to do, and this is just fan theory anyway. I mean, this could be nothing, but I'm just saying that could be one possibility. Take that. I can't think of anything else that they'd unless it's just a revenge storyline from Triple H and Roman. Or no, Rollins. I'm sorry, Triple H and Rollins is going to lead up to them having a fight down the road.
Yeah.
Is it time to have Rollins as a face?
You could say, you could have arguments for both. There's arguments for both. I personally would like to see him stay as a heel, but it depends on where they go with Owens.
The time to have pulled the trigger on that would have been when he came back to that huge pop, and instead of him turning it back on the crowd and pretty much giving the big middle finger to the crowd, embraced the pop, that would have been the time to actually go ahead and, all right, turn the face. But since he had such a hard right turn there to say, yeah, you're cheering for me now, but you know what, fuck you guys, you weren't there when I was trying to, you know, rehab my knee, that ship has sailed. They can't, he can't.
Never say never. Fans are
well, that's true.
Fans are idiots. They chant CM Punk when he's not there anymore.
They're stupid idiots.
Yeah.
That's Jericho. That's like
New Day of Bayley against The Club.
The Club. Is it going to be kind of weird for me to say that I think it's okay that Dana's with The Club? And that Dana with The Club might be better than Dana by herself or Dana with Charlotte?
There's somebody that doesn't like that idea.
There's someone that informed me. There's someone that really against Dana being with the Bullet Club, The Club.
Okay.
And that's the wife of Luke Gallows.
Oh, well.
The Bullet Babe. Okay.
Yeah,
the Bullet
Babe. I don't know. I think she was just being weird. Give me the entire story on that. I just saw blurbs and stuff. And
yeah, well, me too. There was a lot of there's an article about all these tweets that she did during Raw, during that segment. Once Dana came out on that little – the lovely vignette that we had with them being retirement
home. With the Blink 182.
Yeah.
Fucking
something to the point of.
Now I get it.
Yeah. Have you seen her? Have you seen that lady now? Or,
oh, she's beat to hell.
Yeah, yeah. Cool. No, but there's a tweet that the Bullet Bay did about she's got to kill a bitch.
Yeah.
And not so many words.
Is that okay, Fabe? Like, what's
I have no idea.
Like, I don't get it.
Like, I have no idea if. Surely she knows it's wrestling.
It's work, brother. Yeah.
So
I mean, okay.
And plus it's Dana Brooke. I mean,
putting that bullshit aside with the Bullet Babe, like just in the WWE universe, ugh, just within the WWE universe, like what did you think about it? Like, am I
just open your mouth a little?
A little bit. Am I full of shit for saying that, you know, Dana with the Club might be okay?
If she has to be a piece for a bigger puzzle. She does fit with the Bullet Club.
How does she fit?
Because, I don't know. The three of them looked like they belong together, kind of. What I didn't like was they went from being doctors to retirement specialists.
Right.
Like, what, like...
You know, it's joking.
Yeah,
they're not really specialists.
No, it's dumb.
They got you, bitch.
It's dumb.
Here's my issue with the whole thing. You want to hear what this is?
Okay.
New Day... they're faces,
right?
They have three members.
Yep.
The Club are heels, and they have two members. Do you see the problem with that? You can never have heat on your heels because they're never going to be outnumbered, or they're never going to be able to outnumber the faces and get advantage and get heely tactics on them.
Yeah.
Because of that whole situation.
Yeah.
What's the point?
Okay.
And you could throw Dana in there. Sure, whatever. I don't care. I don't care about Dana Brooke. And the Club, you said it yourselves. Like, it's they're working for a retirement home now, or what are they doing with the Club? I said that from day one. They're not going to do anything right with them, so why even bother getting behind them? And look at them now.
I thank you.
And Bailey with New Day. I don't know if that was
that fucking adorable though.
Maybe Chris can back me up on this, but. I think we've seen certain movies that start off with one white chick with three black guys. I'm just saying. I don't know if that's going to end well. I'm just saying.
It usually does end well.
Yeah, well, touche.
I always end well.
And it was right on time.
Yeah. Oh, my. She'll be clapping, all right.
Oh.
Or no, wait, she'll have a clap. Excuse me.
Got
that wrong.
Yes.
They fit together. I just don't want to see it too much.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's too much. It's too much goody-goody stuff.
What? Going back to when they should have pulled triggers. That trigger should have been pulled. With
I thought you were about to say some other word.
No, no.
She'll pull that trigger on the PC here.
That should have happened with Team Bad. Team Bad in the New Day. Remember they had that little.
Oh,
that
little, yeah.
What you call it? And them going there, the 3-on-3.
Whew.
Yeah, that's when that should have happened.
Yeah.
But you know what? It did.
It did it. So now you got to settle for Bayley.
Ha!
3-on-1.
Hey, do you know where Kane is from?
No.
Not Truth or Consequences, New Mexico. I don't know where.
Am I bleeding into SmackDown? Where's Kane from? Travis, what did we learn yesterday on SmackDown?
We found the whereabouts of Parts Unknown.
Really?
It's now in Knoxville, Tennessee.
What? Did they announce him as being from Knoxville? What?
His little graphic for his name and everything says hails from Knoxville, Tennessee.
The fuck? Really?
It was on SmackDown. Keep watching.
No, but I missed that, I guess.
You're too busy preoccupied with the milkman.
Oh, you were getting your jollies off the milkman, huh?
I guess so.
Apparently, I'm weird because that was the one takeaway I got from the whole segment was he's from Knoxville, Tennessee, with this whole milkman thing.
And Abel over here is thinking, did he buy that pack of Tidy Whitey by itself, or did he get 3 for a discount?
And why did he come the milkman? The milkman, seriously, what the hell?
I don't know. That was the weirdest post.
That was a WTF moment of the week.
What was he an indie guy? That
who cares?
I don't know. I mean, is that
no
that
disrespect like, to the milkman, but really, who gives a shit?
Is that his gimmick on the indies? Like,
what, to get the ring and strip down? Who cares?
I don't know. Like, I'm just curious now. Like, what? Where did this come from? Whose idea was this? And how can we make sure it's not replicated?
Well, you're about to replicate it right now.
If you want me to.
No, don't. Stop. Stop.
He's wearing a tidy whitey upstairs.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
I forgot something before we transitioned into SmackDown.
The hell you say?
Cesaro versus Sheamus, round 2.
Ah, I'm surprised that it is 2-0.
I like it.
And I like it too.
Dindy, what do you think of it? The little backdrop to the ring post?
I like that they did it. I like even more that they followed up with Cesaro tapping out immediately after getting that cloverleaf. That's the way to sell it.
The problem is,
I hate for it to go 3-0 and then Cesaro go busted Red Sox the rest of the way.
Yeah.
That's what I don't want. Like, I told you I wanted it to end in 5 or 6. If Sheamus is going to be the one to win this, let him be dominant. Let him win 4-1, 4-0 because Cesaro is selling the injury.
Yeah.
You know, but if this is going to predetermine go 7 until WrestleMania 41, fuck, I'm already losing interest.
I would like for it to be tied up at 2-2. Then have like if we gotta have Cesaro or if we gotta have Sheamus win, then Sheamus win 4-2. You know, because then 3-2 would be like, oh shit, that means Cesaro's gonna win this next one, so it'll be 3-3, and then no, boom, surprise, Sheamus. Like, but I definitely don't want to see 4-0 and I don't want to see 4-1. You know, I wouldn't mind seeing 4-2.
I'll be surprised if I care. Regardless of the outcome. Here's my issue with the whole backdrop thing. It's the ring post. That's following up last week with Sami Zayn's. They're doing these storyline injuries at the
at the expense of people getting hurt for real.
Hi, Finn. How are you?
Yeah. Oh,
hey,
man.
Sasha.
Yeah.
Like if injuries weren't so prevalent right now.
It's like you're causing it. Like you're asking for a jinx. You're asking for
You're tempting fate.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I don't know. I don't know if I like that either.
That's it for Raw?
Okay.
Cool. Yeah. Not a whole lot on Raw this week except for that the big thing. Mm-hmm.
SmackDown. Mm-hmm. They open up the show immediately with the Talking Smack segment from last week, Miz, Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, replaying it. Yep.
Miz walks out before they even play his music. Right. They play it halfway to him getting in the ring.
We're getting there? Yeah, this is good.
He starts getting on the mic.
Yep. Yep.
What happened next?
I'll tell you.
I don't remember.
They immediately killed every single bit of heat he had by playing Ziggler's music.
Oh. Yeah, I do remember that now.
His boy, The Miz, and he forgot the entire segment. Was that because of Ziggler? Are you a Miz Ziggler again?
Well,
sans suits.
I don't know. When Ziggler came out, like, it made sense. It didn't make sense that it was Ziggler. It made sense that somebody interrupted so that way okay, well, we have all this heat on Miz. Who's going to challenge him? You know, like it made sense that somebody interrupted him. Now, whether or not I like that at Ziggler,
Okay, when Ziggler came out and he was walking to the ring, I said, my thought was, hey, wait a minute. Ziggler might be on his side because these last month of Ziggler's storyline, frustration, management, or all this
chip
other
on
stuff,
the shoulder.
Yeah, I was like, okay, this could go somewhere. And then he challenged him for the title. I was like, oh, this is not
going anywhere. He didn't challenge him for the title. He said no referee, no title match, no nothing, no just no ring bell. Just fight me right now. Just go at me, bro. Just fight me.
And that was a little save, but then Miz.
Typical wrestling.
Mm-hmm. He proved everybody right, like what Daniel Bryan was saying and what Ziggler was saying. He just walked away.
Yeah.
The Which, fuck, man? That right there is like, oh, man.
I told you right then there. Like, Miz was like, he was getting ready. Like, he got her out of the ring and he took his watch off and everything, put it in his pocket. I was like, okay, go. Like, that would have been perfect for them to start doing a brawl, referees running out, doing a pull apart brawl and everything. That would have been awesome. But that didn't happen.
Yeah,
he just walked away.
That That is where it got killed.
Yeah,
not the fact that Ziggler came out. The fact that Ziggler came out, well, of course somebody has to come out so that you could, you know, channel all that momentum onto somebody into a match. But yeah, what should have happened is exactly what you said, where it was a pull apart brawl.
Yeah. Oh, now the title match for Backlash, Ziggler against the Miz.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Which you're right, where Ziggler didn't ask for the title. He said, let's just fight. You know, D-Bry was right. The one later in the night who said, well, you know what? Fine.
Hold on a minute, man.
Let's go ahead and put the title on the line then. He kind of did it like almost passive aggressively. Like he was being a dick about it. He's like,
let's get to that. Because okay. SmackDown started with Shane. You said they were Shane and D-Bry were watching that on a monitor. And Shane's like, hey, man, you can't be provoking the talent like that.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, asserting his authority because he is his boss.
Mm-hmm.
And D-Bry, he had a really good line. I love that. He said, he looked at him and said, well, that's a bit ironic coming from, you know, someone who's got beef with Brock Lesnar.
Oh, yeah! Woo! I love that.
But that made a point clear. If you didn't get the message beforehand, they kind of spelled it out for you right there.
That Shane has beef with Brock Lesnar.
Well, you have your GM kind of beef with talent, i.e. Miz, and maybe some other people. And you have Shane involved with Brock Lesnar. Dude, that's like totally going against the very first thing they said on SmackDown, on the very first episode of the Brand Split. It's not about us. It's about the talent and about the fans. And what's the first thing? I mean, what's all this whole thing been about? The manager.
About the manager.
What?
You forgot number three.
What?
Daniel Bryan's got beef with The Miz. Shane's got beef with Brock Lesnar. Daniel Bryan also has beef with the McMahons because the McMahons are the one that told Bryan, you can't wrestle no more, bitch. We can't have you hurt. And Bryan mentioned that on Talking Smack.
Or Miz mentioned that.
Yeah. So when Bryan, before Bryan finished that mic drop on Shane, as soon as he said, that's ironic coming from somebody. And when before he even finished that sentence, I thought, oh, shit, he's actually standing up for Shane because he can't wrestle anymore. So there's that, like, underneath the surface of Shane versus Lesnar and D-Bry versus Miz, there's that underlying, you know, Bryan still wants in. And he has to play second fiddle. You've been complaining that Bryan always comes out with Shane. He's even playing second fiddle to McMahon. He can't even do what he wants on his own. He can't general manage on his own, and he can't wrestle.
And if they're going with something
like
that,
they bring that up. And that's the part that I'm liking a lot about SmackDown in general now that the SummerSlam pay-per-view is over. SmackDown's getting into its stride.
I think so.
And SmackDown, since they don't have to burn through 3 hours every week, they can slow burn stuff like this without it already getting exhausted. Not just because of that storyline in general, but because just the time of everything that it takes to consume SmackDown just starts wearing you out, that you start losing interest.
Mm.
Which is why we only talked about three things from Raw as opposed to what we're about to talk about for SmackDown so far.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think the last 2 weeks of SmackDown have been superior to Raw for sure.
You were complaining on our little social group.
Uh-huh.
You were not too happy about the Headbangers returning.
Yeah. I don't know. Like,
even if it's one night only.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, I don't mind the fact that they said, well, we're just going to reach into the Wayback Machine and pull somebody out. But I kind of didn't like the fact that advertised but not advertised, like, you know, the presentation. Yeah, was it Mosh or was it Thrasher? Which one was the one that, like, put it on Facebook? Okay. It was both of them?
Both of them.
Yeah, well, they put on, oh, well, you know, I always wanted to wrestle for my kid, and I'm going to get a chance to, and I'm like, wait, what? Is this true? Okay. Wait, the Headbangers? Really? Okay. And, like, I didn't really get too fired up for them because it's just the Headbangers. And
former tag team champs.
Former tag team champs, but come on, it's the Headbangers. Out of all the tag teams from the Attitude Era, I don't, like, my brain doesn't go to, oh, yeah, the Headbangers. Like, there's, like, five other teams ahead of them that I think of, you know?
Go.
Okay, New Age Outlaws.
Billy Gunn's gone.
Well, I'm just talking about people I think. Mm-hmm. Well, Edge and Christian. Yeah, okay, they're all dead. Matt and Jeff.
They're broken.
Yeah. The Dudleys.
They're gone, legitimately, which, yeah.
Okay, Too Cool.
Okay, I'll give you Too Cool.
Oh, okay.
If you were gonna say we're gonna snag, he's like, well, some Benjamin's missing the wheel.
Okay. So technically,
he's got Too Cool.
Headbangers were pre-Attitude Era.
Okay.
Personal bias aside,
yeah.
What did you think of the Headbangers' overall performance on SmackDown?
Yeah, they did all right.
I'm supposed to see the hard one over again.
You were surprised to see them in decent shape, decent as in they're not round.
Yeah.
Oh, and, yeah,
and
definitely.
We're talking about that too, but, you know, we're talking about how I'm pretty sure they wrestled in any
state. They still wrestled in any
state. Yeah, I agree with you there. Yeah.
But with, I don't know if they were supposed to announce that on Twitter or not, but they were coming back, maybe that spoiled some things, because the presentation on SmackDown was very, like...
Like, they, we all assumed
they brushed,
that we
they brushed over it, because the very first time we mentioned Headbangers on SmackDown was on the bracket. And you saw the word Headbangers on there, but who the fuck are they?
Yeah, like this should have been a big ass surprise, you know? Like, okay, you need to go find your tag team partner, Heath. Okay, and then he winds up finding Rhino, and we'll find you an opponent. All right, so we never knew who right. that seventh right. team was gonna be. Eighth would be Heath and Rhino, right?
No, seventh, because they were the stats.
Okay, the eighth team.
Semantics. Okay.
The other fucking team. You know, like, we didn't know who it was. So what should have happened is that Heath and Rhino should have went out there, and then out comes Shane. And we go, well, we had a hard time finding an opponent. We really had to really dig deep, and, well, here you go. And then Headbangers come out. Like, oh, wow, okay, cool.
That would have been insane if they had to dust them off pretty much.
Well, okay, maybe word it a little bit differently, but, like, but, still, okay, like, make it a surprise.
But presentation-wise, aside from the surprise aspect was gone, they did do a little video package to let you know. I'm glad they did that. You know,
but they are, yeah.
But even then, like, I wanted to hear the music again.
The old music.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's so funny that the Vaudevillains are from a bygone era. I think the Headbangers are from a bygone era. If you think about it, I mean, I was surprised. I was like, are they going to come out in the skirts? Yeah, they came out in the skirts or kilts or whatever. You know, like.
But yeah, they didn't come out to their music. I guess the CFOs.
Some generic.
Just redid.
Yeah. I told them, it wouldn't shock me if they came out to Seth Rollins' theme and they would have still fit because it's the Headbangers and they bounce around like a motherfucker.
But they did good. I don't know what happened at the end of that match because they did some. I think like Thrasher may have elbowed Rhino in the temple there. But he was gushing, man. No Randy Orton job, but anyway, right. He bleed all over the place, you know, into that match. But did you like the outcome of because we kind of talked about this. What did you think about the end of the match?
I was surprised.
Yeah.
I really thought that the Headbangers were gonna win because I didn't think that it was gonna be just a one night only thing. Mm-hmm. And the whole thing about Heath is that he could lose and still be on TV and just like keep it fucking going. Yeah. So I thought that that's what they were going to do, and that when they brought back the Headbangers, especially with all the stuff they said on, oh, I want my kid to finally see me wrestle, da 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 da. I'm like, oh, okay, so they're going to have them back, you know, out with the Dudleys, in with the Headbangers. You know, they're the new nostalgia retro act that'll be there for, you know, 2 or 3 months. And, you know, have him get a win. Okay, move on to the next round. And that keeps the thing going with Heath. But no, Heath won with Rhino? Okay. So, like, in my mind, a mishmash tag team of two singles guys didn't make sense to win over the established tag team that you made, you know,
an effort to
bring back who it was.
But yeah, the right person won that match because we didn't want Heath to get the win. We wanted Rhino
to get the win,
and that's what happened.
That was very true.
That was good booking on WWE's part, I thought.
So the semifinals is the Usos against American Alpha.
Ooh.
And the Hype Bros against Heath and Rhino.
Okay.
Who's in your finals?
Heath and Rhino and American Alphas.
Mm, me too.
Who do you have one?
American Alphas.
American Alphas. Okay. Because remember, Heath doesn't have a contract whole thing.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And I don't think – now's not the time. You still got that – you could go either way. You could say
– either they were out the first round or they're out in the finals.
Yeah.
You can't take him out midway through with the storyline they got going with Heath.
Well, that's what I'm saying. You could go either way with the storyline of him either winning the contract or him without the contract and seeing how far they want to go with that.
Yeah.
Question. Did the Heath Slater character jump the shark?
It's getting there.
Not yet.
Defend yourself.
Talking smack.
Thank you.
I think that it has not jumped the shark. It's the complete opposite. It's nowhere near a shark yet at all. You just got character development on Talking Smack that totally changed it, added some more stuff to it. Like, you browned the meat, but you haven't put the veggies on the pot yet. You know, like, you've just started cooking the rest of the meal. And that's what I really think is going on. You got to see more character, more different aspects of what this is. He's not one-man band anymore. He's new Cletus. You know, where, you know, with all the fucking kids, and Rhino's helping him out, and like, it's
fucking duct tape for hand tape is next.
Yeah, yeah, he's yeah.
Did we have to have one without the other? Because the trailer park segment is where I thought they already went too far with it.
If they're gonna keep that up,
it was the personalities of the two on their own and talking smack that made me actually empathize for them.
Yeah,
for both of them.
Well, not just empathize; it made me laugh. Both of them.
The trailer park scene was a little bit too much.
It felt old WWE.
Okay.
Not new era stuff. It felt like this is something that – this is Jamie Noble media. This is
– yes.
What's a past stereotype redneck thing? That's the most recent one I can think of. But obviously we've seen this before.
Yeah.
I guess it's funny. It's laugh. Okay. Haha. But it's,
It's supposed to be the reality era, right? So yeah. Why fake the whole trailer park thing? Like, it would have been cool as a running joke without us having to pull the curtain and actually show, like, oh, he wants a double wide and his wife is, like, the size of a tundra. And that he's got 8 kids that are drowning in a pool because it was overdone. That segment, to me, was overdone.
Yeah.
They did more for me. Having the two of them talk to each other and talking shit to each other and having each other... the charisma between the two.
The only saving grace of that whole segment, and for the Talking Smack segment too, was the chemistry between, or the dynamics, I should say, between Rhino and Heath. With Rhino just back there, just doing that, the cheese whiz and everything, and it's not being a silent, I guess, I don't know what you want to call him, but he played off really well on Heath, and that came off even better on the Talking Smack thing. But Rhino was a saving grace.
Beauty and the Man Beast.
I'm going to go one step further. What solidified it for me was I just had it. Renee Young, her selling the segment in the trailer park and her asking the questions back and forth, being playful, like leaving, having the foundation there for them to play off of. And Renee's reactions in the trailer park while they were mispronouncing hors d'oeuvres or all this other junk and, like, the foods in the table is just the can of cheese whiz and the crackers. Her selling it as much as them made everything come across better.
Here's the thing about that. Like, again, kind of beating the dead horse here, but, like, I get the whole redneck stereotype that WWE's doing because we've seen it before. But that was never Heath Slater's thing. I guess we're just kind of...
And that's why I like it, because it's a metamorphosis of who he is. He's not Mr. One-Man Band. He's not a part of the three-man band. He's not, you know, second or third fellow in the Nexus. It's something different that we're getting from him.
But even from this whole free agent thing, that wasn't One-Man Band. That was... We're going a direction, and I think because he went off about his kids in the pool and everything. And they're like, okay, well, let's do this route. And they kind of, that's what it felt like. It felt like they took a joke that he did offhand and they're just running wild with that shit.
And what's wrong with that? I mean, that's organic development right there. He came up with something and then, okay, fine, keep going.
It's not organic. I don't know. It's gonna get old really fast.
Okay.
Damn foam. How about we had a Divas tag match. What would press you more, the Divas in the ring or Nikki and Carmella?
They're not Divas anymore, bitch. Except
what pressed you more, the Divas, bitches in the ring or the two bitches outside the ring?
The ones outside.
There you go. Thank you.
I'm liking Carmella. I like this heel turn for her.
Yeah,
Carmella.
That's a very interesting thing. She's had an interesting turn.
Don't ever do that again. They're taking something that was bad and removing her from end zone cast, and she wasn't getting over on her own,
right?
As a face, so why not turn on the most well known face that you have?
Well, alleged face. She's a face storyline wise, but everybody hates her.
Do it.
How about the most recognizable star?
There you go.
Doesn't matter if they book her to be a good girl and people boo her, or they book her to be a bad girl and people cheer her. She's the most recognizable woman right now on that roster.
Yes.
You know, how was the Undertaker staying the biggest dog in the yard? Carmella's fighting the biggest dog in the yard right now.
Yeah.
Well, no matter the breed, do you like it or not, she's the top right there.
Kind of like when The Miz went over to Raw and they challenged Cena.
5-0 against Cena. Oh, there you go. Thank you for reminding me. I love that.
Honestly, the all the women on SmackDown, they're getting more development and screen time than whatever they're doing on Raw.
Which actually has the fucking established title, you know?
Yeah. Naomi with the whole painting in the dark. Alyssa Bliss looking all cute and angry. Carmella being a total jerk, which I love.
I love, you know.
And Nikki's cleavage. Here's
one thing about that little beatdown that you know, Nikki. I love the fact it was very kind of subtle. They didn't really harp on it. But when she was leaving, she stepped
on her.
Yeah, she stepped on to get over her. Dude, I love that. That was, I don't know if it was just planned or improvised, but I love
people
it.
People do that in Brooklyn all the time.
Okay.
No, they just did it to me. Yeah,
because you're an asshole.
He paid extra for it.
Oh yeah. Let's see, what else? What are you guys thinking of Bray versus Orton? The official that they're going to fight at this next victory. Special event.
It could be good. Yeah. I mean, that's fine. I don't know. It's like they haven't really been doing a whole lot with
Randy Orton. That's what all that was. Were you selling that segment right there by Yanni?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, it's Randy Orton. I mean, he's not really following up with anything that he did from SummerSlam. So this is just, you know, the next feud for him. And Bray, it could be a stepping stone for him if he can get a win. Period.
It's imperative that he wins this feud. And by that, he has to win the first match and he has to win the last match.
Right.
And he ain't going to.
You think so?
It's Randy Orton. He ain't going to.
Dude, I said this to Chris the other night, dude. WWE lately, since this brand split, I got to say, give them credit's due. They've been throwing shit against the wall. You see what sticks.
That's true.
Exhibit G. The main event was Dean Ambrose against Baron Corbin.
Yeah. Oh, real quick, before that, because AJ was on commentary. But before that, dude, that promo, I'm loving this overly cocky. No, he's not confident, he's cocky. AJ Styles. Dude, the old backstage thing. I laughed every time I saw that freaking headband, dude. He is owning that gimmick right now. His overconfidence that he's the face that runs the place. Telling everybody that that's who he is. Getting in Apollo Crews' face.
And I must say that I'm impressed with AJ, and all of a sudden he just learned how to talk.
Yeah, I was actually enjoying that promo that he was doing up until he got interrupted. I was actually that's what kind of irritated me that he got
the spelling bee.
Yeah, well, yeah, just with someone coming out and interrupting because I was wanting to see where he was going with that promo, and I guess it's killing time for Apollo to come out.
Right, but it's okay. I mean. We'll get more chances to see AJ talk.
We did in the main event because he's on commentary. That was enjoyable just by itself. I don't know. He's got some very good nuances when he's doing this over the cocky thing that he's doing. I don't know, something about it. It's gold, Jerry. Gold. but yeah, the main event.
The match wasn't that bad. Actually, it wasn't anything that I was telling you, hey, you need to fast forward, any juice left. But still, I liked it. I was actually impressed that Baron Corbin did not look bad in that match. How much of that was Dean and how much of that was Corbin actually keeping up or him actually setting a pace? Mm-hmm. I didn't mind it. It was a pretty solid match.
Mm-hmm.
I kind of liked that match a lot more than Ziggler, Dean, and freaking SummerSlam. I paid more attention to it.
Okay.
So I don't know about you guys.
They kept Corbin strong.
Yeah.
He didn't lose.
That's true.
AJ got in his face and shenanigans.
Yeah. So that brings us to ring rope-itis.
Oh, yeah.
I really thought that AJ seen anybody sell getting crotched on the ring rope for as long of a period of time as AJ did. And I don't hate it. Like, I thought it was kind
of
funny.
Dude, that used to be a staple of shenanigans back in the 80s and 90s.
Right, but the amount of time he, like, stayed up there, like, oh, like, it's like, usually by that time you've already fell down. Yeah, like, that's the exact way that I felt about it. Like, he was just selling it for too long. But it was funny. I like the way how
Ambrose shook his hand.
It was like talking to him, shooting the shit, and then like, oh, let me bounce.
Like, how does it feel to be a woman?
Yeah, like that was all great. And I think that adds a little bit more to me, for me. A little more umph, but a little bit more personality to Dean.
I love the way AJ was selling it on Talking Smack.
Oh, I hurt my whalebone.
I have to eat some humble crow here. Fucking Talking Smack. It's safe to say I think SmackDown now is 2.5 hours.
Yes.
Because that was enjoyable as fuck.
Yes.
Between Heath and Rhino playing off of each other and Daniel Bryan showing off his juice from whatever, like 18 different plants and sauces, and then AJ. The chemistry of AJ and Brian going back to their history when they used to wrestle in the indies. Again, I'm hoping that enough of this indie talk with Brian gets him to wake up, and that's like the other part of the him feud with Shane, that, hey, you know what? All these people are telling me I can still go.
Yeah.
You know?
It's been repetitive from D-Bry on TV that he wants to go.
At least on Talking Smack, where you're supposed to peek behind the curtain and see that this part's real.
Dude, he said on Talking Smack, TNA. He said that it's, you know, if I could, whatever.
If I had guts, I would go to the Indies.
Yeah.
But I would probably go to Japan. Let me ask AJ since he's got experience.
Yeah.
You know, I would be wrestling.
We both perked up like,
wow. The fact that he said that, you know. Here's the thing about Talking Smack, and I think this is what gets – the conclusion that I think we both came up with when we were watching it is what makes it work so far from what we've seen is there's no script on that. I think Renee – has bullet points, and she just asks questions and see what happens.
Episode, she's in front of that pad. She's gonna go like this. Watch her.
Okay.
I noticed that, and I was like, that's reminiscent of how we work, where we have our bullet points, and other than that, y'all just like free ball. We just go. That's what I was like. I told Travis, like, that looks like us.
I love the fact that one of the first things she said on the show. That is disgusting. All right.
It looks better if you take your glasses off.
Looks better if you get out of my house. All right. So.
I meant him. He can enjoy you better without his glasses on.
Oh. Yeah.
You big dummy?
Yeah.
All right. So.
All you have to do is just start feeling. You don't have to see it.
My vision's already shot.
Yeah.
I'm just going by muscle.
Yeah. Like, I don't remember that being there.
Go for one. You were saying?
I don't even know. Somehow Renee. Oh. The fact that she was she called it out that everybody's making fun of her for saying that, hey guys, this is what the show is about, and all those memes that came up from that, she kept called it out. I was like, okay, all right, they really are, like, this show was like just
off the cuff.
Yeah. So it's fun, you know, and if that's what it takes to compete, you know, and whatever, and be better than Raw, so be it.
I agree.
And I don't mind sticking around. And you didn't even, when we were watching SmackDown, we didn't even say, hey, let's flip over. No, I just did it. And we're just over here talking, and it felt seamless, you know. Mm-hmm. So because they were, the show ended and they were already on there talking, like they just like D-Ride just sat down and they're already getting the conversation about his little vegetable juice, whatever that he was drinking.
Mm-hmm. Boom juice, I believe
is what they call it. Yeah, boom juice.
Try but hiding the label. I saw it.
It was fun. It was a fun show. So
speaking of fun shows. Well, actually, that's a horrible segue. Tell me your first impression when you saw the TakeOver Fallout episode of NXT.
What are we talking about? NXT?
This episode of NXT.
The actual episode
the recap,
of NXT.
The recap. TakeOver recap.
I fucking rolled my eyes and sighed. I'm like, oh, really? Because...
How?
Oh, really? Because... That's enough. No,
I didn't get the first time.
Yeah. Look, really? No.
How?
When you make NXT Brooklyn such a big deal that you're in Brooklyn, oh my God, it's so special, it's so awesome, it's so amazing, and then you have your next bullshit blow off recap show still there, it kind of diminishes it a little, I think. You know, well, okay. Oh man, we're going to Brooklyn. This is gonna be your first time in Brooklyn, whatever, whatever. And oh, it's gonna be great. We sold out this place, record breaking for NXT, 15,000 fans. Come back next year. Hey, this is our second time here. We're doing it even bigger. The reason why we came back to the Barclays Center in Brooklyn is because man, we had such a great time last time. And oh God, this is gonna be fucking awesome. This is gonna be one of our marquee shows. Okay, great. Tune in NXT the week after. No hype, not, hey, we're staying here for another show. No, nothing like that. It's just, oh, hey, we're still in Brooklyn. Okay, what do you got going on? Oh, well, we're going to have 10 versus negative 47, Blake.
Which song you don't like.
Oh, my God, we'll get into that here in a second. And we're just going to have a match, and then after that, we're going to have, like, some recap. It kind of felt like, this should have been the pre-show of NXT Brooklyn 2 after NXT Brooklyn 2 actually happened.
This is the same thing happened last year.
I know, and it sucks.
Right.
I can't bitch about it sucking.
Oh, you can.
Like, okay, it sucks. Like, they shouldn't have done it that
way. But, I mean, you're acting surprised. It's not like this is new. I mean, I get what you're saying, that it's almost like a pre-show. Well, it was a pre-show because that's when they take the matches. Mm-hmm. It was the start of the show. Why they didn't do that? Why didn't they air those on the same day? I have no idea. My bigger concern is, why do you have to have a recap show of TakeOver when it's on the same fucking network? Like, the people who watch
NXT, it's on demand. Go find it.
Yeah. Well, besides that, it's on demand. You can watch it anytime. But the fans that watch TakeOver, they watched it. Like, you're not bringing in new, you're not selling anybody on it. Like,
it's like it's painfully obvious they're buying their own time in between their own schedule tapings. For tapings and this and that. That is just like cringeworthy, you know? It's like, oh man.
Back to our original problem. The first week after the big event, where's the champ? Where's your women's champ?
Right.
Not a video in the back. Even in the ring.
Yeah, not something that you could have just seen on WWE.com or on YouTube.
They can't capture that TV moment of seeing your new champ. And it sucks. And you can read spoilers right now and see what happened to your channel. Because I did.
He is becoming Spoiler Joe.
No, here's the thing. Here's the thing. I'm not going to – you could probably consider it a spoiler. I don't know. I'm going to try to leave this vague. But I clicked on a news article that says NXT superstar stretched out from the taping. I was like, oh, shit, okay, someone got hurt, right? And I click on it. It was a storyline. For the next set of tapings.
Which is happening now. The first episode's airing now.
Yeah.
While we air.
Right. 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 Yeah. So it's just, you can't even capture the not spontaneous, but just the moment of.
The momentum.
The momentum, there you go, of coming off a huge takeover. Mm-hmm. So.
The only positive I'll give that show, I loved seeing Ty Dillinger get that kind of a reception in front of an audience that big.
Which that should have been on Brooklyn. It should have been on the TakeOver special.
Especially if he's a face now that's about to start getting momentum.
Right. And see, that was the one thing. Man, that was so fucking awesome. But it's relegated to the show after, where it's not that big of a deal. And who's he fighting? Blake. Why? We don't know. It's just whatever. We're going to throw it out there. Oh, by the way, now we're going to start bitching about this. The pop
for Ty was fucking massive. Everybody was doing the 10. They were like, yeah, whatever, going along with it. They were fucking hype, you know? Then you click on the elevator music for Blake, and I was like, did they literally pipe in crickets to his entrance music? Like, what the hell is this? Like, it was silent. And a lot of people were like, what's going on?
Is that the first time you heard his music?
Yeah. Okay. Was that not the first time?
No.
Really?
I heard it live at the house show, and I've heard it once or twice.
There's a couple episodes.
To your point, Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy split up, but their theme musics are almost identical. The way their Titantrons are presented are almost identical. So it's hard to even differentiate between the two anyway.
I haven't seen it.
Pay attention to it next time you guys watch Wesley Blake and Buddy Murphy. Or you guys got the network. Go back a couple episodes and compare.
That music fucking sucks.
Yeah.
It's terrible.
The gimmick sucks. Like, what's he supposed to, like,
There's no energy.
Yeah.
Dude, they came out with their, like, Skrillex remix of Womp 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 mm-hmm. when they came out as a team, and they're all hype and fired up. Now this one comes out from San Antonio going, and all slow, and, like, he got deflated or whatever.
Yeah, it's terrible.
Yeah.
It stinks.
Hated to it. Didn't ship the beef from San Antonio. But, yeah, that's NXT in a nutshell. Hopefully this episode that we'll cover next week.
Did you want to talk about the tag match at the end with Authors of Pain and
TM61?
Yeah, there you go, TM61.
That was fun. I like the finish, like the crashing powerbomb.
Yes,
and then
yes, that's exactly what I wanted to comment on.
And their team finisher, the Russian leg sweep with the clothesline from hell.
Yeah. Which
I'm going to kill somebody.
Yeah. Which I thought the dual power bombs was probably going to be enough. But I liked it.
Yeah, I've seen there was an episode a few weeks ago where they did that combination finish or whatever. And I liked it then. I mean, they have potential there. But get Paul Ellering on the goddamn mic. Get them to say something.
At least he talked on the apron when he was telling the
guys. Shut up. I don't care about that. I don't get him on the mic. Get a promo. What are they fighting for? What is going on with this fucking team?
What is the grand plan that he, you know, has?
He said that like 2 months ago, 3 months ago. How long have they been around? I don't know. I don't care. I'm already getting pissed off by these people.
Let's switch over to the Cruiserweight Classic then.
All right. We can do that. Oh, and by the way, to your point, having a recap show the week after TakeOver, it kind of defeats the point even more because if you're like me, if you see it's a recap show of a show you've already watched, you're not even going to watch it anyways. So Ty Dillinger's match, the pop, a lot of people are probably going to see that because there's a recap show.
That's why I said he should have been on the show because he would have benefited more from the pop being on the actual fucking TakeOver.
All right, so I'm done. Yeah. I'm done with the NXT.
Okay, next. TWC, Cruiserweight Classic.
Hurry up.
Oof. Fuck it. TJ Perkins against Johnny Gargano.
Good.
Go.
Good match. Match of the week candidate for me. I enjoyed everything on that match. Like, I don't really know how else to say it. Like, all the stuff that they did looked pretty.
Not only that, but you're a proponent of storyline telling. And this went into going back to TakeOver with the knee, Gargano.
Yes.
That carried over before this match started. He was taping up the knee. Psycho Killer's standing looking stoic as usual. I don't know where they're going with that. Then they come out and he's selling the knee the whole time. TJ's like focusing on the knee the whole time. They play off each other really well, I thought, on that match. And then I can't remember if the backdrop onto the ring table.
Yeah.
Was that towards the end?
That was in the middle.
That was the middle? Okay. I knew it was like getting closer to the finish. But yeah, the knee was a target throughout the whole match. That
played
out very well. And then the submission finish with Gargano having to tap out. Perfect ending. And
perfect way.
For me, it was surprising that TJ went over.
Half of that crowd was shocked that TJ went over.
Yeah, I saw this a couple people. Yeah.
But I am still okay with it because I feel they put a lot more sympathy on Gargano. Mm. So I didn't feel like Gargano came out of it like with his stock being lowered. Like he lost, but dude, there is so much more interesting that was shoved into him with that loss.
if you're going to complain about things being out of order from the NXT TakeOver special, I'm going to complain about things being out of order because the Cruiserweight match was taped before or before Brooklyn even went live.
Yes.
So there, for me, knowing that that happened, there's no reason why he should be selling that injury from TakeOver. What they should have done is literally just capitalized on him taking the body drop onto the table and start focusing on that knee from there, and that's how he ended the match. You didn't have to bring the Brooklyn stuff at all into it.
I disagree with you. I like that they did too, because as far as we know, we're not fucking Spoiler McGee.
Right.
We don't know, like we shouldn't. We're not supposed to know. As just a viewer, right, we shouldn't supposed to know that, oh, this is the order of how it's actually taped.
That makes it even better.
It's even more impressive that they were able to show that, oh, wow, this is, they planned this out before it and things went according to plan. So I was okay with it. And the fact that they pulled it off where, you know, hey, at TakeOver, which happened live, they planned that this was going to go this way and it's going to hurt the knee. No, it was great. I liked it. And the fact that they tied it in there, that tells the story of why he actually lost. Because one thing that I'm finding, especially now that we're whittling it down further and further, is that there's so many fucking hard calls to make as to who you're going to give what to. And you got to protect the guys that you already have on your roster as guys that are like people that you're trying to build up. And I think that was a perfect way to do it. He had an injury from here, from a thing that like everybody already saw, and it carried over. I don't care the order that it was taped in. The order that I saw it on the telly, the order that they told it as a story was that A happened, and because A happened, it cost him the match in B.
All they had to do, and they did, was they filmed a new vignette of him taping up his knee in the back.
Yep,
that's it. That's all they do.
That's all they had to do. It made sense in the story. I mean, I don't care if you taped episode 3 of Walking Dead before you taped episode 4. When I watch it, I watch 3 and then 4, you know?
Right.
So, yeah.
How about Sabre against Gulak?
That, my friend, is my match of the week. Pick.
We'll get there.
Oh, okay.
What do you think?
I came off more impressed with Gulak than Sabre.
Oh, yes.
Because I was so mesmerized by Zack Sabre Jr. in the first match. This was kind of a coming out for me seeing what Gulak could do.
Yeah.
Because he was going toe-to-toe with him. He was
aggressive.
He was taking as much as he was given on that match.
Yeah.
And it was a very good back-and-forth match. I was surprised about how much he's able to counter what Sabre is doing to him.
Yeah.
It's a toss-up between these two matches.
Hmm.
But,
it's not my match of the week pick. I'll tell you why.
Okay.
You start off.
It was filmed 2 weeks ago. Yeah.
Bell rings, bang! Match is going 100 miles an hour.
Right.
Minute in, it already peters to 20. If you hate that motherfucker, go at it until you're out of fucking gas. Like maybe they should have kept going. Like that. If they were gonna start in that frenetic pace, they should have gone for it through it for at least 5 or 10 minutes before the endurance game started to play in. You know, that's my biggest takeaway from that. But other than Gulak just like being able to hang with him and pulling out some counters,
slowed down because they kept countering each other.
Yeah, I think that's why it slowed down too. They were going 100 miles per hour, but then I think that's when they figured out, okay, you know what, we're going too fast because we know each other too well. You know what, we need to start playing the chess game. And that's when I fucking loved it. I loved it. Them going back and forth countering and them playing mentally with each other, you know, like, oh God, it was that's why I love the match so much, because it was as much as Perkins versus Gargano, they kept trying to put over the fact, oh, this is really good technical stuff. I think there was way more intricate technical stuff in Gulak and Sabre than hell anything I've seen in the last like year or two. Like, it was so fucking intricate, you know.
Perkins and Gargano was my pick just because of the consistency, the pace throughout consistently. There wasn't a lull where I was like, what? That threw me off in the first minute. If I would have seen like the first 30 seconds and then like a minute and a half after just another 30 seconds, the two completely different paces,
yeah,
it would have, it would, I would, it just, it felt off for me. So because of that, regardless of everything else in that match, that was damn near like precision.
Yeah.
Perkins Gargano gets my nut for match of the week.
Now let me gush a little bit more over this match. Another thing that I really liked about it is that the match in and of itself had more of the story to it, and the story wasn't from outside sources. Like, it was within its own thing. Like, Zack Sabre, oh, he's the pick, and he's the most technically sound in the whole thing.
Everybody cheers for him.
And then out comes Gulak. Out comes Gulak, and then, whoa, why is he so pissed off? Oh, I guess he took umbrage to the fact that people were saying he's the best technical wrestler. Oh, shit. Wow. And, like, all that was just told in the ring. Not in a video package before. Not, oh, this was kind of a brew-in. No, we expected a handshake and another CWC match. That's not what we got. And Gulak was pissed the fuck off, and he showed himself being pissed the fuck off. I know you said there was a little bit of a lull there, and I get the lull, but he was also, and he, the commentators put it over, he was also the one that was willing to put somebody in a leg lock and then slap him in the face while doing it at the same time, because he was willing to be that vicious and have that much disrespect, you know, for his opponent. That's that. I'll stop there because I think I see the wheels turning inside Travis's brain.
You know what? You sold me on it, bitch.
Ah!
I had Gargano and TJ as my match. But yeah, because I really did enjoy Zack Sabre Jr.'s match. But I think, yeah, I'm going to go with the. Yeah.
Well, there you have it.
It's my match of the week pick.
Listeners. We're always open to hearing what your guys' match of the week pick is. Let us know. If you're watching live on the YouTube, of course, you can just go ahead and type it right now. Or you'll go to our Facebook page if you're watching this on the delay later.
Answer HWR. Who's your pick for the winner of the CWC?
Ooh. Before we go over the quarterfinal bracket, do you guys have any opinion over Rich Swann over Lince Dorado?
That was fun. It was a fun, flippy, dippy style match.
And but it got overshadowed.
Like, all three of the matches are match of the week candidates.
I agree.
Yeah.
I can't agree because I can't really match.
Okay. No. I really like Rich Swann. Which one?
Rick Swann.
Ah.
I like
that. So here is the bracket for the quarterfinals. Zack Sabre Jr. against Noam Dar.
That'd be
Grand
nice.
Metalik against Akira Tozawa. TJ Perkins against Rich Swann.
Yes, that's going to be awesome.
Kota Ibushi against the Brian Kendrick.
Brian Kendrick's going to die.
Or
but
is he?
probably still win. He's going to die, but probably still win.
I would not get upset if Kota Ibushi loses to freaking the Brian Kendrick, only because of the fact that WWE has built up this one last lie for this pussy.
Right.
Like, his eight lives are gone. He's got one left. And I want to see him lose the finals.
Yeah. That's why I'm saying.
Or even better,
he's going to die, but he still probably will win.
I keep reimagining the movie Dodgeball in my head. And I'll tell you why. Because they keep bringing up these stipulations and the fact that they haven't happened yet. I'm expecting the finals to be a draw. Because
what
we haven't had it
yet.
After the 20 minutes, if there's not a winner, there is no winner.
Oh.
And they haven't pulled it yet, but they keep bragging about it. That's how the Cruiserweight Classic is going to end. The finals, it's not going to end on the finals. It's going to end on the debut of Raw. Your Cruiserweights with the review of the finals.
No, that's how the D. Brian Kendrick and Ibushi match is going to win. That's how that's going to end. That's gonna
no be contest?
Yeah. That way, to win-win, nobody, you don't have to worry about ruffling any feathers. Yeah.
But they're both sort of,
so be it.
Oh, well. And somebody else will get a bye.
Bye in the final.
No. No. That's how Brian Kendrick is going to advance. He's going to beat Ibushi, but whoever's on the other side of that bracket, they're going to go to the 20 minutes, so Brian Kendrick can get a straight pass.
All I know is
that's what's going to happen.
All I know is if they go this entire tournament without pulling it, I'll be pissed because they made so much of an effort to remind me that they didn't do it.
Okay.
What does that mean? It's rules. I mean, all they're saying is it's start a match. This match is for a 20-minute time limit. I mean, that's not really rubbing your face or anything.
Well, Chris does have a little bit of point. They have been kind of rubbing it in your face. Every match on Raw, they don't say, hey, there's a 20-minute time limit. But time limits are kind of implied on any other wrestling show. But on CWC, yeah, every episode that I've watched, they've mentioned, oh,
but all
the
other shows don't shake hands or raise the referee, have them both in and raise their hands or whatever. They don't do any of that. So, I mean, this is part. This is part of the presentation.
Okay. That's it, man. We went through everything.
One last thing. This ties it back into Raw from the Cruiserweights. But they did you see the promo about who's coming to Raw?
No. DJ. Gargano.
Gargano.
Ciampa.
Ciampa and Cedric Alexander.
I didn't see this.
It was a promo.
It was on CWC?
No, it was on Raw.
It was on Raw.
They're
hyping. This is the second video, I think, that they've shown teasing people that are going to be in this Cruiserweight.
Well, this is the first time I've seen them.
Because I've seen Gulak on one of these promo videos. Gulak and somebody else is on.
Like Brian Kendrick
is already going to be in.
Like what we saw with. Because
they've done it. This isn't the first time they've shown clips like that. They've had that video on Raw.
Where they show actual promos of the guys?
They
put their names on them?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
It's Noam Dar, Drew Gulak, and the Brian Kendrick was the first video they showed. Then this video, they showed Gargano Ciampa, and Swan.
Right. No, it was
Gulak. All right, Cedric. Yeah. They've been showing these. Yeah, they're building.
I don't know.
I didn't see it. For whatever reason, I missed it somehow.
SmackDown presents TLC Sunday, December 4th in Dallas. The follow-up, the fallout, is going to be SmackDown Live here in Houston.
Yeah. Oh, cool.
Tickets for the Houston show go on sale on Saturday, next Saturday, same as TLC.
Let me guess, you already bought your ticket.
Yes!
Or pre-sale or whatever.
Right, yeah. Because after Raw, they'll say, hey, tonight only, you can come to the box office. Yeah.
That's how I got such a good seat for Raw. The last house show that was there.
That's how they get you. That's how they get me.
Yeah,
they keep you.
Sucker.
Yeah, they keep you hooked.
Mark.
Bitch.
Don't be hating because you ain't going.
Well, I'll tell you what I did go to. The Wrestle Festival.
Ah.
Yeah. I know you guys are giving me a little bit of crap. About ring announcing, and that whenever you ring announce, the track record hasn't been that great because you know
they already announced WrestleFest.
So how big was the explosion after you announced?
Well, if you're talking about cheers and adulation, big. But no. It was fucking fun. It was probably the most fun I've ever had at a wrestling event. That's not like a big, you know, like WWE or ROH or something like that. It was
silly. ROW, TAP, NWA Houston, Doomsday, and this. And you're putting this above everything local.
Yeah. In terms
how
of
how much did they pay to say that?
$0. I worked the night and I got paid $0. But it was fucking fun. Like that's all it was. It was just fucking fun.
All right, I'm putting you on blast. Did you karaoke?
No, I did not do karaoke.
Bitch!
But, dude, that place, Super Happy Funland.
Smelled like dope, right?
Yeah, a little bit. It was just the most bizarre place. Like, you walk in, and you turn to the left to go into the place. It's not even an arena or something. It's just, and there was, like, this wall of, like, little Ann dolls, you know, Raggedy Ann dolls. It was just like, oh, okay, that's interesting.
I saw some of the wall art that they drew.
Yeah, and there's like fucking wall art. There's bicycles hanging from the ceiling. They had like this big ass like 8-foot Gumby stuffed plush thing just like on one corner. And there was just like junk, just random junk everywhere. And like old ass love seats and couches as seating. Like it was just bizarre. It was just a really weird place. The way I described it was
that's kind of dirty.
It was dirty, but it was charming. It was kind of weird. It seemed like the first level of Guitar Hero. You know, that weird ass venue that's kind of like shitty.
The grungy garage of couches.
Yeah, that's what it was. It had like
sad. I know
vibe.
That.
Yeah. You need a hand sanitizer. I had to take a shower when I got home, but it was fucking fun as shit. The show itself was really fun. I don't know if it was butterflies or what or whatever, but you know, the first match there was a bit of a boo boo. Somebody did get knocked out a little bit. It wasn't really supposed to, so there was kind of like a moment where everybody got scared. But
keeping it kayfabe, huh?
Yeah. After the show, man, or after that part of the show, everything else just kept going on, and everything was just going off without a hitch, and it was just. You know, I know that they had said, hey, look, we're just pretty much untrained guys. We're backyarders, so we're not going to take it too seriously. So right then and there, I was thinking, okay, well, this is going to be kind of more along the lines of early Doomsday stuff, where it was like really
bare-bone.
Yeah, bare-bone, like nothing. They were actually out there taking some pretty crazy, you know, not like super crazy, like fucking Dragon Gate bumps. But they were out there taking bumps that I was like, oh, wow, they're actually pulling this off. And they were doing it well. And if I had not known that all these guys were saying that they're just backyard guys, I would have thought that some of them did actually have more formal training. They were actually pulling shit off that I was like, I'm impressed. You know, it was pretty cool. And
so they got lucky.
Well, I wouldn't say they got lucky because it was all of them.
One got knocked out.
Well, all lucky. The first one got knocked out, yes. So there was that moment. But and then also, you know, the comedy aspect, you know, where we had the same guy that was on the show last week, Ross, Captain.
The rapper guy.
Yeah, Captain Custy. You know, he was on commentary throughout the night. And one thing that I usually hate about indies that do commentary over the PA is that sometimes you can't hear, I just can't sound like this. But, like, I don't know if it's just a weird-ass venue that the acoustics were just right or just they had the right kind of audio setup. Like, you could actually hear what the hell was going on. So the commentary was really adding to the match. And the fact that, like, he was funny about it just kind of added to the show where it was just, like, fun, you know? So it was really great, and I had a great time, you know?
So when's number three?
Ross said somewhere between 8 to 9 months from now, they're not going to try to wait for it to be a yearly thing, but it's not something that they're just going to do fucking next month. But they are planning to do at least a WrestleFest 3, if not something sooner. So, yeah. So look, I'm
8 to 9 months to find out if the jinx kicks in.
Yeah, oh, it's gonna kick in.
WrestleFest 3 live from Timbuktu, Texas. That's the show, man. That's it. Stick a fork in it.
All right. Well, then, adios, my friends. Keep it classy.
Toodles. Happy culture.